Kildare Today with Clem, Owen and Kira.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. Whitewatersc.ie.
I think this will surprise many people, Owen.
Yeah, HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid is to step down from his position at the end of the year. A report in the Irish Independent from a few moments ago. In a statement today, it emerged he has advised the chairman, the board of the HSE and the Minister for Health of his decision. He's agreed with the chairman that he will step down in December of this year, facilitating a period to advance the process of selecting a successor. He said today that he has no immediate career plans. In a message to staff today, Mr. Reid said that he was making the decision with a heavy heart and that it was the hardest decision he has ever had to make in relation to his own career. He's quoted here as saying, having previously worked in the private, not-for-profit, central and local government, working in the HSE has been by far the greatest period in my career. It has been truly rewarding leading an organisation whose staff come to work every day to make people's lives better. So, yeah, that news just breaking there this morning. Luke Byrne writing in the Independent, but the HSE have released a statement that Chief Executive Paul Reid will be stepping down from his position at the end of this year.
And any reason given for that, Owen? Because he's a relatively speaking, comparatively young man still, which many people would have seemed years ahead of him, aside from the fact that, you know, of the 400,000 plus salary and also generous expenses and everything else.
Yeah.
It's a Is there any indication as to why he has chosen this time?
Yeah,
I know,
well,
over
Mr.
the weekend, he was critical in a way of Minister Stephen Donnelly, with the minister apparently had asked the HSE to defer their decision to close down Navan Accident and Emergency. And I know that Paul Reid was on over the weekend saying, yes, if the minister, of course, has the power to direct them to defer it, but he didn't think it was the right thing. And he considered, these are not his exact words, but he said that this was his exact words. He said, if the minister did direct them to defer the decision to close the Navan Accident and Emergency, it would be a mistake. So one wonders if there are tensions at play
in
there.
He said himself that his decision was influenced by two key factors. These were a desire to spend more time with his family, who had made many sacrifices to support him, that's a quote from him, and a belief that the HSE was entering a new phase and that the appointment of a new leader was now timely. So paying tribute to Paul Reid, the chairman of the HSE, Mr. Kieran Devan, said it's with very great regret that I and the board have heard of Paul's decision. He has led the health service through what has been the greatest challenge it has ever faced and done so with relentless dedication and professionalism. We are very grateful that he will stay in his role for a further period, that's up until the end of December this year, to allow us progress the extremely difficult task of replacing him.
All right, okay, thank you for that, Owen. That breaking news there, courtesy of The Independent. Now, we promised you that we'd have a quick look at, we're not going to go through all 40 councillors, okay, because we wouldn't have time. We promised you that we'd have a quick look at what's happening in Kildare County Council in terms of attendance at meetings. And Owen has the top 10 and maybe a few bottom. But just to point out about councillors before we do this, now, in regards to attendance at meetings, councillors don't just attend a meeting once a month, okay? The general council meeting. Because all council members are also members of various committees. Now, not all 40 in every committee, but you have an audit committee, a finance committee, a local rural water monitoring committee, the local traveller accommodation committee, the protocol procedures committee, the corporate policy group, County Kildare twinning committee, the Cúisle Gaeilge, the decade of commemorations committee. You have all of these. And then councillors are members of external bodies, the Association of Local Government, a Thai Heritage Company, a Thai Community Enterprise, the County Joint Policing Initiative, County Kildare Fáilte, Dreahead Community Liaison Committee, Dublin Mid-Leinster Regional Health Forum, Irish Public Bodies Mutual Insurance, Kildare Community Network Company, Kildare Heritage Forum, Kildare Town Heritage Company, Kildare Sports and Leisure, Kildare Wicklow Education Training Board, Leixlip Amenity Centre, Local Authorities Members Association, Local Community Development Committees, Eastern and Midland Regional Assembly, County Kildare Leader Partnership, Monreed Community Centre, Southwestern Regional Drugs and Alcohol Task Force. Lads, I'm nearly out of breath. So aside from attending meetings, all 40 councillors are members of various committees. Not 40 on each now, and public bodies as well. I think this councillor crack is a full-time job. I don't know how they do this part-time. Now, Owen, you have the top 10, have you?
Yeah, so we've the top 10 in terms of expenses, you know, the councillors who drew down the most, and then we have the councillors who drew down the least. We'll give the lowest five, and then we'll go through the councillors' attendance at meetings. We'll start off with that then, and, you know, from the outset it has to be said that attendance was quite good. There's a number of councillors here in the high 90s, but with 100% attendance, you have Councillor Anne Breen attending 32 out of 32 meetings, Labour councillor on the Naas Municipal District, 100% attendance. Staying in Naas, Carmel Kelly, Fianna Fáil councillor, attended 100% meetings there, 42 meetings she attended that year. Also in Naas, Green Party councillor Colm Kenny with 33 out of 33, 100% attendance. In the other municipal districts, Clane Maynooth, Fianna Fáil councillor, and indeed he's the outgoing Cathaoirleach, Nisha O'Carroll, with 100% attendance there, and Rob Power, also in the of Fianna Fáil, he's the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, he had 100% attendance as well. So as we said, Nisha O'Carroll, the outgoing Cathaoirleach, Fintan Brett is the incoming Cathaoirleach.
And let's congratulate Fintan Brett, just in case we forget, by the way, he's the new Cathaoirleach of Kildare County Council, the new mayor of the county, if you like, and Joe Neville is to be deputy mayor.
Indeed, yeah. Last Cathaoirleach, Joe Neville from the Selbridge Leixlip MD. So Fianna Fáil outgoing, Fine Gael incoming, and Naas and Selbridge Leixlip both represented there.
Yeah, I think it's probably rotated in terms of that, and good luck to Fintan and indeed Joe in their office as Cathaoirleach and last Cathaoirleach for the year 2021. Now, 100% attendance, that's some achievement. And look, we understand that meetings get missed. I wouldn't attend every meeting that I'm ever scheduled to attend because 101 things always come. But maybe a look at the other end of the scale there, Owen.
The other end of the scale. So you have Councillor Dara Fitzpatrick, Fianna Fáil councillor on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District, attending 20 out of 34 meetings. That's a percentage of 59% attendance. Vera Louise Behan, Fianna Fáil councillor on the Athy Municipal District, then with 72% attendance, 28 out of 39 meetings. Then in the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, independent councillor Fiona McLaughlin Healy, attending 26 out of 32 meetings. That's a percentage of 81%. And then there are two councillors on 85%. Bill Clear of the Social Democrats in the Naas Municipal District and Councillor Ivan Keatley, a Fine Gael councillor in the Athy Municipal District.
And we must 85%. Point out, by the way, that, you know, 80% of meetings or whatever else, like things like holidays, family holidays, personal holidays, illness, anything else, many, many things can feed into why councillors would miss meetings. But we're just reflecting on the annual report. This is public information that's out there. Now, in terms of expenses, Owen, time is getting away from us and we're due to go to the DAFF.ie report, which we'll do next after the break because Professor Ronan Collins is on a big timeline there, and then we'll have Charlie Bird then following that as well.
Yeah.
So briefly on the expenses, Owen.
Yeah, so if we start at the top of the table, then Vera Louise Behan had the highest amount of annual expenses paid to councillors, €8,530. That's in the Athy MD. Staying there, Mark Lee was second, €7,949. Third then was, I believe it was Brian Dooley of the Athy MD, €7,432. And Aoife Breslin, also of the Athy MD, €7,340. So the top four coming from the Athy MD. And then in fifth, Bernard Caldwell. Sixth, Joe Neville. Seventh, Michael Coleman. Eighth was Kevin Duffy. Ninth, Suzanne Doyle. And tenth, Tim Durkin.
And so that's tenth the top 10. Would be how much?
10th was €6,333. That's Tim Durkin.
Right, okay. Now, and then at the lowest expenses, have you got that?
Yeah, so joint lowest were the two Social Democrats councillors, Aidan Farley of the Clane Maynooth Municipal District and Chris Pender of Kildare Newbridge, both drawing down the same amount of money, €3,027. And then we had, reading up the table, was Vanessa Liston of the Selbridge Leixlip MD, €3,851. Noel Connolly Kelly, 3,942, and the fifth lowest was Evie Salmon, Fine Gael councillor on the Naas Municipal District, €4,211.
And in fairness, there can be many reasons, again, why councillors will claim different amounts of money and this and that spend, and we're not suggesting for a moment that anybody would be making cream out of it or whatever else in regards to that, but just has to give the people of the county a flavour of the amount. The overriding thing for me, Owen, is the amount of meetings that councillors attend, not just, we'll say, Kildare County Council meetings, but then there's the monthly municipal district meeting, and then there are all those dozens and dozens of committee meetings that councillors are, you know, members of various ones. And to me, I think the annual wage for a councillor, is it around 16,000 or was it?
It is, yeah. And just on that note as well, I mean, we talk about the monthly MD meetings, so they meet in their MD once a month. That's 12 meetings. Aoife Breslin attended 60 meetings, or had 60 meetings all year. She attended 97.95%, but that is a serious number of meetings.
For God's sake.
60 meetings, yeah. How many is that a month?
I mean, let's face it, we give councillors a hard time here occasionally, but you have to admire them in terms of attending 50, 60 meetings a year. Lads, that's meetings a couple of times a week. And that doesn't take into account, those are just formal meetings. Mm. It doesn't take into account meeting constituents, people coming to them with problems, etc., etc.
And as you said, it's a part-time job.
Right. Are you going to stand at the next election?
I might. If you're standing, I'll stand against you.
I have to say, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it because, to me, that being a councillor is a full-time job.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Okay, welcome back. Keep your messages coming, please, to the usual sources in regards to that. Now we're joined by Professor Ronan. Apparently, just before the break, I mentioned we'd have Professor Ronan Collins. I'm not aware of who Professor Ronan Collins might be, but Professor Ronan Lines, who is economist with Trinity College and author of the latest Daft.ie report. Good morning, Ronan. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Clem. I think Ronan Collins is the guy with great taste in music.
I think so. Yeah. Just a slip of the tongue in relation to that.
You're fine.
In terms, first of all, an overview, the headline out of your report, aside from 8% rise in Kildare, what's happening nationally?
Nationally, there's been another strong increase in sale prices between March and June. So an increase overall of almost 4% nationally. And when you look now, say, June this year compared to June last year, it means that the rate of inflation is more or less steady as she goes. It's just below 10% year on year. Now, that does hide some differences around the country. Those differences have been there really for about 12 or 18 months, in particular Dublin, but even the areas around Dublin have seen less inflation, and places like Wexford and Donegal and Clare and Kerry have seen some of the biggest increases in the same period. And I think that they're largely held up in the last 3 months, although some differences are starting to emerge.
3.8% rise on average during the second quarter of 2022. The average listed price nationwide in the second quarter, 311,000, up 9.5% in the same period in 2021. And the rural-urban gap certainly continuing to grow. I think you have found, as we know here in Kildare, but significant differences between the rise in different places and different parts of the country, particularly east versus west.
That's right. Like if you look at what has happened in even over the last 2 years, the first couple of months of COVID was a bit of uncertainty, but really from about the middle of 2020 through to the middle of 2022, we've seen this pattern emerging of, in particular, the West, but not exclusively, as I said, in pockets of the Southeast as well, have seen strong increases. To give you one example, in Leitrim, prices are up 40% compared to 2 years ago. In the 2 years before that, they increased just by 5%. Whereas if you flip it around, Dublin and the area around Dublin, including Kildare, had seen pretty big increases in the mid to late 2010s. And instead, it's eased back a bit. So there's a reshuffling of demand as COVID has come along and essentially freed people up to be, not everyone up, not everyone up all the time, but it has freed at least some people to think about moving to different locations that they wouldn't have 5 years ago.
Now, you do make the point in the report, and by the way, I presume that 40% increase in litrum, we're talking from pretty low bases, are we, relative to what prices in the east of the country might be?
That's right, yeah. So 2 years ago, the average price in litrum was €125,000. Now it's €175,000. That is, of course, a long way from Kildare, where the average price is €325,000.
All right. Now, you talk about that subtle change. Urban inflation is on the rise, while inflation outside the five major cities is cooling off. The five major cities, but did I not see in the report Cork City up 9.4%, Galway City up 13%, Limerick City up 11.1%, Waterford City 13.5%, whereas the rest of the country is 11.4%, and Dublin, where the average price is €429,384, up 6.6%. But is it actually cooling down the market?
So there's two things going on. The first is, as you mentioned there, there's greater similarity in the inflation rates across urban and rural areas. A year ago, it was obvious. The rural areas are seeing much bigger increases than the cities. Now it's less obvious, as you mentioned there. In fact, in Galway City, it's actually seeing bigger increases year on year than in the outside the cities area as a whole. So that's one thing. The differences across the country are starting to fade away. But the other thing is that we're also starting to see, I think, the first signs that both supply is strengthening and demand is weakening a little bit. To take those one by one, on the supply side, there will be an increase in number of homes built this year, but that's only part of the story. It's still going to be below what the country needs, but it will help. But the other part of the story is that during COVID, the second-hand market seized up. These are not homes that are getting built, but homes that are just getting traded. That seized up because people were not able to go view things. And why would you put your own property up if you couldn't go and see what was happening? All that kind of stuff. That has almost normalised. So there's been a recovery nationally. There were about 70,000 properties listed in over the course of 2019. That collapsed down to 45,000 by early 2021. It's back up to about 60,000 now, 62,000 homes put up for sale in the last year. So supply is improving, and that will help cool down the market. On the other hand, there are a couple of signs that demand is at least reconsidering itself, for want of a better phrase. What I mean by that is a key element of demand are people's expectations about the future. If you think prices are going to go up 20% over the next year, you're much more likely to try and move now than wait for those prices to increase. Whereas if you think prices are going to fall 20% next year, then you'll probably wait. There's no point trying to catch a falling knife, as the saying goes. So if you look at that measure, which is included in the report, the average inspected inflation in house prices over the next year has fallen from 5% a couple of months ago to just 1% now. So people are becoming a little bit more cautious about what they think is coming down the tracks. That could be wider inflation in the economy, interest rates going up, and talk of recession. But both of those things, better supply and slightly weaker demand, should mean that we see less inflation in the second half of the year than in the first half.
And notwithstanding what you've just said there and that analysis, but nevertheless, the X factors, the variables that come into play, the state of the economy internationally, worldwide, supply and demand, all of that will play, as you mentioned, interest rates prompted by inflation will feed through to housing demand in due course. I noticed a story in The Independent today being described as a game changer, the first home scheme where the government will step in. Should the government actually be taking equity in homes instead of just handing out money?
I think if you look at it as help to buy versus this new proposed shared equity scheme, I think shared equity is a much stronger way to go. The challenge with help to buy is that it's not targeted. Anyone is entitled to it if they paid income tax. But many of the people who took it up would have been able to save for a deposit anyway. So did it do anything really other than boost the deposits of those who were already able to buy properties? Arguably, it helped viability in some locations. The shared equity scheme scheme, what that means is that instead of the government, or the taxpayer rather, gifting you a 10% deposit, the taxpayer says to you, well, if you'd like help with your 10% deposit, that's great, we will give you the 10%, but we will take a 10% stake in your house. And what that means is that you're much more likely to get people taking it up only if they need it, but also it's a much better use of taxpayers' money, that the money doesn't just disappear, it goes into a share in the home, and then it will come back when the person sells on, or there may be terms and conditions around buying out the taxpayer. So it's certainly better than Help to Buy. Is it a solution for everything? Not really, because the fundamental challenge that the Irish housing system faces is that construction costs are so high relative to ordinary incomes. And there's only so much you can do with something like a shared equity scheme. But you have to ultimately address those high costs if you really want to solve the problem. And that's true for for-profit housing and not-for-profit housing as well.
And a quick word before we let you go in terms of the more micro picture in terms of Kildare and what the report is saying in regards to that. The headline figure would be in the second quarter of 2022, prices were 8% higher than the year previously, compared to a rise of 17% seen a year ago.
That's right, yeah. So there's been a cooling down in inflation in Kildare, but still it's a 3% increase between March and June. So it's less than the increases. There was a couple of very large increases in late 2020 and early 2021, but so it's smaller than those, but it's still a big increase for a 3-month period. And what it means is that when you look at the low, compare now to the lowest point, prices in Kildare are up 107%. In other words, in plain English, they've just more than doubled in the last 7 or 8 years, which of course has to be paid by someone if someone's looking to buy a home there.
Indeed, in terms of that, with the average price being €324,000. Run, and finally before you go, at that average price of 325,000, 107% above its lowest point. What type of house are we talking about here? 3-bedroom, semi-detached, or 4-bedroom?
That's an average across all the different property types. But
right,
in the report, there's a snapshot that looks at all the different types, from 1-bedroom apartment up to 5-bed detached. And it does that by county, so people can look at the different segments of the market and see how they're doing.
Well, we'll do that in a couple of minutes' time. You can find all the details, folks, on the daft.ie website. That's daft.ie. And Professor Ronan Lyons is an economist, Trinity College, Dublin, and author of this report. Thanks again, Ronan, for your time. I know you're a very busy man today, and we appreciate you coming on to us with Kildare Today.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, good morning to you. We'll have a look, as I say, at some of the drill down some of the numbers behind that report. But just to tell you again, the average price, €324,583, as Ronan said, quarter on quarter change, up 3.2%, up 8.1% in the year, and the change is from its lowest point, and that would have been back in 2007, 2009, wouldn't it, when the Celtic Tiger collapsed. A house prices in Kildare are now near double what they were then, 106.9%. In Wicklow, the average price is 410,000, which is up 3.7%. In Meath, the average price is 318,779. As Ronan said, that's across the different counties. In Laois, the average price, €236,000. Offaly, €238,000. Westmeath, €262,000. And if you pop down to Carlow, you can have an average price house there of €247,178, which is up 4% quarter on quarter. Let's go to the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Ciara.
Yes, Councillor for Fianna Fáil, Noel Heavey, joins me now. Good morning, Noel.
Hello, Ciara. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much for joining me. We're going to begin by discussing the Red House, the former Red House Hotel, which is between Naas and Newbridge. We know in 2021 the property was designated a derelict site by Kildare County Council. February 2005, a fire did cause extensive damage to the Red House Hotel, and obviously was knocked down and converted to the now massive building that's there. You have suggested at the meeting just last week, Noel, that the site could be used to help ease the accommodation crisis.
Yeah, well, there has been declared a housing emergency, and what that means is the Minister for Housing has powers to acquire properties and has a budget to acquire properties. Any of us who live around Ladytown or live around Newbridge Nace know about this vast building. That was developed as a hotel. It was a hotel, and it's just lying there. It's been lying there for going on 10 years, and it's just not good enough. Bearing in mind what's been gone on there before, about the scarcity of houses and the cost of houses. And as a councillor, like, I come across people in desperate, desperate situations. And before you ever talk about people coming from unfortunate people fleeing their land, coming from Ukraine, and people I know. So there is a real emergency, and I want this building looked at and brought in from the cold and considered as to how it can contribute to the solution.
It really is very vast. If anybody's ever been up close to the building, I know people may drive by it all the time, but when you actually see it, it's absolutely massive. The council did note to you, though, Noel, the property is currently in private ownership, so it would require the agreement of the owners to bring forward the building as a functioning residence. It was taken over by a company from Limerick, Blockstar Limited, from NAMA in 2014, and there were plans for a film studio at the site. They were drawn up by the developer in 2017, and that application also included a 65 bedroom hotel, a 162 bed nursing home, and a media school. Then in 2019, plans were lodged for a new roundabout to provide a new access point, and it also allowed the provision of a 2.5 metre pedestrian and cyclist lane to the south of the proposed roundabout, that is. So a vast building, and I'm sure, Noel, that is something that you'll follow up on there. We're going to move to you asking the council to ensure that the Liffey Linear Park associated with SHD Beelan Woods development be linked to the Liffey Linear Park by a pedestrian path. This has been spoken about a few times on the show over the past number of weeks.
Yeah. Well, I suppose there was a community meeting held in the week before the municipal meeting, and at that, it was a really, really good meeting for anyone who was at it. The outrage that people felt about being asked. A letter came out from Kildare County Council saying they had been in discussion with Glen Bay, and that there was a suggestion that people who would be going along the park from the Strand to the new 80 metre strip in the condition that came. With planning permission for the SHD, that people would have to go out, cross the road, walk 150 metres on the footpath, and then cross
the
road.
Yeah, so Noel, we've actually gone through that. Yeah, we've gone through that quite extensively. But in terms of your motion, what did the council respond to you?
Well, the council responded to me, like, it was essentially to give the same response to the three motions that were there.
Mm-hmm.
My strong thing is that the developer is duty bound to comply with the terms and conditions of the planning permission, which is to provide a direct link without crossing the road with the Strand, with the new park, mm-hmm. an 80 metre strip, which is, you know, considerable. So, you know, I don't know why Kildare County Council entered into discussions to do that. They certainly wouldn't do it with anyone local that I would know.
Okay.
And I was, along with a lot of other people, was outraged by what.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining me this morning. That is Fianna Fáil Councillor for Kildare and Newbridge Municipal District, Noel Heavey.
And Ciara, before you go, would you give us a flavour? We have Charlie Bird on the way. Give us a flavour of what you might be covering in Kildare Focus this afternoon between 2 and 3.
Yeah, so we're covering the Free Legal Advice Centre, the 2021 annual report. We're also speaking to Owen Curry. There was lots of flight cancellations over the weekend at Dublin Airport. Some people being told that they couldn't go on the plane to their specific location when they turned up over the weekend. But when they tried to book another flight, all the flights were fully booked for this location for the next few weeks, and they're unable to go there at all. So basically their holiday was cancelled, full stop. And we'll also be speaking about new research to do with mental health, and also new research to do with gifted children and their education and their needs and how they feel, I guess, society welcomes them or not.
All right, all of that and more with Ciara on Kildare Focus this afternoon between 2 and 3. And before the break and on the way, Charlie Bird speaking about his climb of Croagh-Patrick and indeed the book around that event, which was published just over the weekend. We've had a moving menu this morning, so much coming on hand. Owen, an update on how Naas Cycling Campaign's event went at the weekend.
Absolutely, there was a critical mass cycling event taking place in Naas on Saturday, and Liz Deneef of the Naas Cycling Campaign is on the line. She was with us on Friday looking ahead to it, and indeed Liz, I saw your group of cyclists going around the town on Saturday. Yeah. A good number came out, and I suppose fair to say a little bit more successful than the last one.
Absolutely, Owen, yes, thank you. I'm glad you saw us coming through the town. It was a really good, fun event and a little bit more relaxed than the one before. We were very lucky to have Garda Gary Cogan has been very helpful to us in the background. So we had Garda Sinead with us on Saturday, and we had a couple of very experienced chaperones within the group. And we had a great mix, as you say, of people of all ages came out, and you probably saw we were quite a colourful bunch.
Yeah.
We asked people to wear as much colour as they could, and they did, and it was a thoroughly enjoyable event, which is typical, to be fair, of the events we had before the May one. So that is normally the response we get, and people were on the side of the street beeping and waving and giving us lots of support. So that is what we normally experience and what we hope we will, you know.
Yeah, of course.
In the future.
The one that you had in May was, and we covered this on Friday as well, you had received some backlash from the public as well, but the fact that you had a Garda presence there helped, and it was an enjoyable afternoon for all involved.
It sure was, and the weather helped as well.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and look, it's worth remembering as well that our campaign isn't just about these events, which we run at the end of every month. We're also asking for some really specific changes in the town. We're asking for a 30-kilometre zone through the town, a ban on trucks and HGVs going through the town, which I think would benefit everybody. Segregated cycle lanes, which I know some of that is happening. We heard Sonia Kavanagh earlier, and also traffic-free exclusion zones outside of schools at drop-off and collection time. So while the events are sort of the big flagship thing we do every month, in the background we're also asking for some other changes to try and make Naas safer and a happier place for everybody to cycle.
Okay.
If possible.
On that note, with that update, that is Liz Deneef of the Naas Cycling Campaign. Thanks for joining us, Liz.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Charlie Bird, the former RTÉ journalist, published a book at the weekend. It's coming on your shelves very, very shortly, about his exploits in climbing Croagh-Patrick and the absolute enormous success of that. Writing in the Sunday Independent yesterday, his wife Claire Mould, who's an RTÉ producer herself, she said, "When Charlie got his terminal diagnosis, our lives came to a sudden halt. Everyday banter was replaced by fear of not knowing what was coming down the line. And if we'd be able to cope, as his symptoms got worse, freedom and spontaneity became a thing of the past, so we tried to keep our heads above water as best we could. Charlie's illness has brought us closer, but it has also made us realise how fragile life is. It's very disturbing and upsetting to see what this disease has done to his body. I see tears of frustration when his words won't come out. But Charlie is a fighter, and we can learn a lot from him. He's the most courageous human you could ever meet." During the campaign for Climb Croagh-Patrick with Charlie, or Climb with Charlie, I witnessed his absolute focus and determination to raise funds and awareness for Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association and PIETA. To raise more than €3 million while trying to cope with the disease is a feat in itself. He showed us what you can achieve when you're at your lowest ebb in life. And indeed, this segment was specially created using particular equipment so that Charlie's voice could be reproduced. We had the option of inserting questions into this. We decided not to, that we would let Charlie take the stage himself.
The idea of climbing Croagh-Patrick was not exactly a spur-of-the-moment decision. I have been in a WhatsApp group called The West Awake, comprising of Tommy Gorman, Michael Lally, Sean O'Rourke, Joe O'Brien, Ray Burke, and now the late Jim Fahey. All of the gang were my colleagues. And while I was going through the early part of my illness, before it was identified, all of my colleagues were supportive of me and we had been planning a walk or a climb. So when Ryan Tubridy asked me what was on my bucket list, I blurted out I would love to climb Croagh Patrick. Little did I know when I said that, it would turn into a sort of national event. At first I brought on board Paul Allen, who has his own public relations company. Both of us have cockapoo dogs and we used to meet up during the pandemic for a walk. So he helped me get the whole project up and running, then the two charities came on board as well. And we got a whole team of volunteers who offered us their help and they were all magnificent. The group of volunteers put their heart and soul into Climb with Charlie. I was totally blown away by the support on the day, not only at Croagh Patrick, but as I have said already, right across Ireland and abroad. When we first met the local community in Marlis, they were concerned at the numbers that might turn up on the day of the climb. So at the suggestion of the local Garda inspector, Dennis Harrington, who is now a good friend, we asked people to also climb in their own local area. And that is exactly what happened. In the end, we had a staggering numbers of climbs all over Ireland and abroad. I keep repeating this. People tell me I'm inspirational. But I say it was the people who went out walking and climbing were the real inspirations. I was totally blown away at the size of the number of people who were climbing with me. Yes, my family and friends were with me. But what was so beautiful was the community spirit on the day. Strangers fell into step with each other and walked and chatted together. Yes, there were parts for me where I found the climb very emotional. People who were on their way back down were stopping me and asking for a photo. I was more than happy to do so. I would say I had hundreds of photographs taken. At one stage, halfway up the mountain, there were children from Bracloon National School waiting for me and cheering me on. I cried my eyes out when I was standing among them. To be honest, the whole day was an emotional roller coaster for me. And I cried even more when I reached the summit, greeted by the Clubay Pipe Band. I tried to bow my head and hide my tears, but I could not hide the tears streaming down my face, and everyone, including Ryan Tubridy and Daniel O'Donnell, my grandchildren, were wrapping their arms me to try and comfort me. Oh my God, I will never forget those moments as long as I live. Yes, I had many of my former newsroom colleagues, indeed from all across Montrose, climbing with me. My great pal George Lee, who worked with me on the banking stories, couldn't climb because of a serious back injury, but he promised that he would come down to Westport and Merlis to support me, and he was true to his word. And there were so many former colleagues on the climb, I won't name them all because I might leave out someone. But the Director General, Dee Forbes, also climbed with us. Yes, it was a big surprise when I realized that so many of my colleagues were prepared to climb the reek to support me. What was just as uplifting, lots of colleagues who couldn't make it down to Croagh Patrick met up in Howth on that Saturday morning and walked Howth Head as a gesture of support. There were so many highlights on the day of the climb. But reaching the summit and hearing the music of the Clubay Pipe Band booming out across the mountain top was just so remarkable. They were playing Raglan Road for me. The cheering and the chanting was just so mind-blowing. And everyone who was there told me afterwards that those moments on the top of the reek will live with them forever. The history of Croagh Patrick goes back over 1,000 years, but the local people told me that on that day we made our own bit of history that forever will now be in the annals of the Holy Mountain. It turned into a bit of a session which had never been planned. The great Matt Molloy had brought his flute with him and he joined in playing with the Clubay Pipe Band. There were over 40 members of the band, and they were making their own bit of history. They had never played at the top of the reek before. And yes, just conjure this image up, the wonderful Daniel O'Donnell singing a Bruce Springsteen song for me. Dream Baby Dream. I met Daniel O'Donnell for the first time in my life when we were both guests on the Late Late Show. As I was walking into the studio, he was leaving, we shook hands and he told me he was thinking about me and my illness. But as I was leaving at the end of the show, I was passing him on the corridor, he stretched out his hand and pressed something in my hand. It is a moment and a gesture I will never forget as long as I live. And yes, Daniel did sort of end up being the MC on the top of Croagh Patrick on the day of the climb. It wasn't planned. It sort of just happened. But as I was stumbling back down the mountain, everyone I met was saying the same thing. They were blown away by what happened on the top of the reek. They had never witnessed anything like it before. But in the same breath, they also remarked on a side of Daniel they had never seen before. My message about Daniel is very simple. I have now got a lovely new friend who is a remarkable human being. When the climb was over and we were back down at the base with my family and friends, I was elated. The whole climb went so smoothly. I went back to the hotel to rest for a while and soak my bones. I was looking at my iPad to see how it had been covered by the media. The coverage was amazing and it was wall to wall. I also saw that both the President Michael D and the Taoiseach had both tweeted the support for the climb, not only just on Croagh Patrick but right across the country. All our team of volunteers and myself, we knew we had done something very special. But there was one sad note when we heard that a lady climbing the Galtamore Mountains had passed away. When I got the details that Cor O'Grady had taken ill, I tweeted our condolences to her family and friends. When we started working on this whole project and the volunteers were coming on board to help me, and especially when we set up the iDonate website, in the back of my mind I was hoping that if the gods were smiling down on us, we might reach raising €500,000. Then as more and more climbs were being announced right across the country and abroad, I felt more confident that we might reach the target of €1,000,000. Indeed, I have to admit I had some sleepless nights worrying about everything, including that the weather might be bad on the day of the climb down on Croagh Patrick. Also, each evening I would look up the Climb with Charlie website and see the running total of the amount of money being raised. Each day it was getting bigger and bigger. And also more and more well-known people were lending their support for Climb with Charlie. I couldn't believe it when I saw that Bono was offering part of one of his songs for us to use to help promote the climb. Worked with the Merion Press and Conor Graham on my book A Day in May about the marriage equality referendum. And I contacted Conor and asked him if he would be interested in doing a book, and to be honest, without hesitation, he came back and said he would love to do it. Myself, Claire and Tiger went down to Naas to discuss the project with Conor. He said the sooner the better we get the book out and let's go for it. Then he set a target of a few weeks to have all the photographs in. Claire, my wife, took on the role of tracking down all the photographers, all the photos from all around Ireland and abroad. To be honest, she was working day and night, but thanks to Claire we finally made the deadline of getting all the photographs. Conor and his team at Merion Press then pulled it out of the bag, and yes, here we are now with the book going on sale within the next week. The book Climb with Charlie will be on sale in most bookstores. Also, because of my growing relationship with the Heffernan family, it will also be on sale in all Dunn stores shops around Ireland. And all the profits from the book will go to the Climb with Charlie Fund. Hopefully we'll formally hand it over to the two charities, Pieta and the Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association, in the next couple of weeks. People keep coming up to me and telling me I am an inspiration. Well, for me the real inspiration are the people from all over Ireland and abroad who have been extending the hand of friendship.
Now, we don't normally, because we get so many requests for books, but we thought this was such a special case by an incredibly brave individual who has set his mission in life to raise as much money as he can in what time he has left for Motor Neuron Disease Ireland and indeed Pieta House, which does both do such remarkable work. Charlie Bird, that was specially recorded using equipment that can reproduce Charlie's voice, because he cannot speak normally as we would remember him on our television screens. Talking about the book, that his wife just concluding saying, what is so special is it shows Charlie's struggle to get to the top of Croagh Patrick and the joy of achieving it. There he stands, surrounded by all his family, friends and total strangers who embraced and encouraged him to get to the top. And to emphasise, total proceeds from the book are going to Motor Neuron Disease Ireland and to Pieta House.